Verse number 12 says, "And I arose in the night, and I and some few men with me, neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem, neither was there any beast with me save the beast that I rode upon. And I went out by night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well, and to the dung port, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire. Then I went on to the gate of the fountain and to the king's pool, but there was no place for the beast that was under me to pass. Then I went up in the night by the brook and viewed the wall and turned back and entered by the gate of the valley and so returned. And the rulers knew not whither I went or what I did, neither had I told as yet told to the Jews, nor to the priests, nor to the nobles, nor to the rulers, nor to the rest that did the work." Tonight I want to just share a few things about being awakened. Maybe if we had a title for tonight, the title would be Awake. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the opportunity that you give us to come to the Word of Life, and tonight to come to stand before you to remember the Fountain of Life. And Lord, we just pray that you'd be honored and glorified. Again, thank you for the many that are here with us tonight. Lord, what a glorious crowd we have. So excited to see God's people sacrificing to be with us yet again tonight. Lord, we look for your blessing, your encouragement. We look for your life to be manifested here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. The book of Ephesians, Paul writes to the church in Ephesus there in chapter number 5 and verse 14. He says, "Wherefore, he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." Christ will give you the opportunity to see what you're not able to see when you're sleeping, when your eyes are closed, right? I read it somewhere, I think, I can't remember exact article, but the context was traits of the smartest people in the world. And one of the traits of the smartest people in the world is they are awakened by the sun. They don't wake up to an alarm clock. They sleep in the context of having their shades or blinds open so that when the sun comes up, they wake up with the sun. So I'm doing that too. Because I want to be smart. So at night, I raise our blinds up a little bit, and then I tilt it like this, because my wife doesn't want to wake up with the sun, but I do. That's right. And our pillow's right by the window, so it makes it work out really nice. And it's nice to wake up with the sun, actually. And it's earlier and earlier and earlier now. And it's not quite, my alarm normally goes off right at 6 a.m., but it's getting close, okay? And I know it's only going to get earlier and earlier, but it's refreshing to wake up with the sun. It's refreshing to be awake, because things are happening all around us. And we see in this text, really, in many ways, that Nehemiah is waking up and awake to the needs and the realities of the ministry that's in front of him. Our text here is now going to really it's turning away from Nehemiah's interactions with God to now the work that God's called Nehemiah to do. So we saw a lot in chapter 1 about Nehemiah's prayer life. And we saw again in chapter 2 as he began to interact with the king there, getting to Jerusalem, and now he's there, and the work is going to begin. So the emphasis of the messages and really where we're going with the text here is now going to be on ministry and ministry-related topics, how our personal prayer life and our belief and faith in God should never be self-centered. It should never be a dead sea. It should always be an outflow into the world around us. Okay, so notice here in verses 12 and 13, notice the first phrase, "And I arose in the night," verse 13, "and I went out by night." Okay, maybe we could say it this way if we were to look at it in this context: while others sleep to the needs of God's work, God keeps some awake. While others sleep to the needs of God's work and the ministry around us, God keeps some awake. Nehemiah was awake in the middle of the night while others were sleeping. And I'm sure there's realities to you know why this was happening, but this is a need, and really that's why we want to pray. This is why we want to have an intimate relationship with God, because God does have a ministry for all of us, and He wants to open our eyes to the ministry opportunities that are in front of us. But if we're asleep spiritually, if we're not awake to the light that Jesus is trying to give us, we'll never see what Jesus is trying to show us. That's why the message this morning on having a personal, intimate, real relationship with God that's not built on what you're doing, it's built on who you're engaging, is so essential in this context. Because nobody's going to understand the burdens that you have like Jesus does, because they come from God. And, you know, nobody has the burden that I have for the state of Wisconsin, because God didn't give it to anybody else. He gave me that light. And I think too many people are asleep to the need of our state. But as God opens our eyes, as God encourages us, as God is helping us along, I think others are being awakened to that reality. And I think things will begin to change. Number two, we're going to zoom right through this here. Notice in verses really 13 through then 15, he went out to the gate in verse 13, even before the dragon well into the dung port, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire. And then it says in verse 15, and I went up by night by the brook and viewed the wall. Again, here's another thought. While some have so little concern for the needs of God's work, God keeps it before the eyes of those who are engaged. Some are very not concerned about the things of God's work that need to get done in the world in which we live, but there are some who are seeing the need. There was a whole community here, right? There's a whole community of believers or of God's people living in the context of this place where the walls were torn down and the gates were burned with fire. Remember, Nehemiah getting here wasn't just last week where he got word from God. This is months and months and months ago. So there is the reality that in these last several months, which probably even when Nehemiah got word in the beginning of chapter number one, it had been like that for a while, right? This isn't a new situation. And there was a need to engage this opportunity, but nobody was doing anything. So Nehemiah gets there and he goes out by night while others are sleeping to see all that God has. You know, while some sleep, others are awake to the needs that are happening. And while some don't see it as a problem, others who are engaged, who have been engaging God in an intimate relationship, see the need that's in front of them. What concerns do you have in the world around us? What are you concerned about? Let's maybe ask this question. What are your eyes open to tonight? We need a new president. Because, man, I can't handle these gas prices and all these extra expenses, and there's no chicken at the store. And listen, our world is falling apart. We need a new president, do we? Is that really going to change anything? But listen, that's what many of us are awake to. That's what a lot of us are concerned about. But we're very much asleep to the spiritual needs. The things that we see maybe are more temporal. We're figuring out how to change circumstances in our life, yet missing the spiritual needs, the walls and the doors that need building to protect us and to do the work that God has called us to do. Are your eyes open to the need to make disciples? Boy, you could just about hear a pin drop when I mentioned that.
Amen.
Matthew 28:18 through 20 is the commission of Jesus Christ to Christianity, you and me. There are people coming in and out of the doors of this church who need ministry. Who is engaging them? Pastor, this is why we pay you. This is your job. And if that's your mindset, my friend, you are asleep. You are not aware of what God's work is and what he wants to do. Chances are you're more concerned about the things of the world than you genuinely are about the things of God. Listen, we want this ministry to grow, not because we want to fill up a room. It's because we want to make disciples. We want to come in line with God's work.
Amen.
And my plea, I guess, in this day is the fact that we need to see that the walls of our spiritual ministries have been broken down and the gates have been burned with fire. The enemy has ransacked us spiritually. And we are absolutely lulled to sleep by the things of this world, and we are missing the things that really mean something.
Amen.
God wants us individually to be making disciples. I mean, you go down the list of people that have come through the doors of this ministry, just even in the last several months, the visitors that come through, how many people have followed up with them? How many have prayed, God, make me a disciple maker in their life? Lord, if you want to use me, I'm ready to be used.
Amen.
How many of us pray those prayers? How many of us consider those opportunities? You say, Pastor, I've never prayed like that. My friend, that's what I'm saying. We're asleep. Our eyes are not open to the needs that are all around us. Is not God showing us that we need to engage his work in these days? Is not God opening our eyes to the fact that ministry is all around us? Is not God showing himself that, listen, if you'll engage me, if you'll follow me, if you'll let me lead you, I will make you the fisher of men that I want you to be. His commission to us is not sit around and be educated. Not sit around and pretend to be the church of the living God. His commission to us is go and make disciples. Go, not come. Go and make disciples of all nations. Which means, folks, that we need to be reaching our community, and most importantly, the fish that jump into the boat. I feel like in many times the fish jump into the boat and we let them jump out the other side. And then we think somehow the contacts from somewhere else are going to be so much better. Listen, if we can't, we've got to wake up, I guess is my plea here tonight. Go and make disciples, baptizing them. Listen, the baptismal water should be getting stirred regularly. You'd say, Pastor Weber, you got to be careful. You're putting too much pressure. I'm not putting any pressure on you. That's not in the Bible, my friend. I'm asking us to pray spiritually and consider what God is asking us to do. He's saying, make disciples, my friend. The New Testament narrative through the book of Acts is all about disciple making. It's all about people engaging Jesus and letting the life of Jesus flow out through them so that they were doing the things that God wanted them to do. While some sleep to this need, others are awake. But we need more. There are people in our ministry right now who are connected to our ministry that need discipleship. Are you willing to sacrifice to be uncomfortable in your way of life, maybe just for a little while every week, to invest in somebody? Pastor, you don't understand my schedule. I get off of work. I've got a wife. We've got kids. We've got this. We've got that. We've got all these things. Okay. It's all right. Listen here, I'm not here to put pressure on you. If God's not in it, I'm not in it either. But I'll just say this, it's going to be a sacrifice. Having kids is a sacrifice. It's not easy to have kids. And many of you know that. And having disciples is a sacrifice, just like having kids. But there's a need right here in our own ministry. And the biggest need is for us to wake up to the fact that God's on the move and he's doing things, but if we don't engage him now, we'll never engage him down the road. If we can't be faithful with the few, then how can he bring many? While some have so little concern for the needs of God's work, God keeps it before the eyes of those who are engaged. Some of us see it. And I'm just pleading with you tonight. Would you ask God to open your eyes too? Would you become a disciple maker? Would you be willing to take the things that somebody invested in you and share it with somebody else? It's not that hard. In fact, it is the most pleasurable thing that'll ever happen in your life. Amen. It'll be one of the greatest things you could ever do. Bring somebody into your home, sit down, talk about Jesus, study the Word of God, pray together, and watch them grow. Pour a little water on them, right? And watch God give the increase. Man, those are some of the best days of our ministry life that we've had in Shawano, and church planting, was bringing people into our home. Some strange bugs. But man, it was great. It was wonderful. Every week having people in and out, coming over, families and multiple families or individuals showing up. Hey, honey, by the way, I'm in the driveway and I've got somebody with me for lunch. Oh, boy. Those are wonderful times and wonderful moments. I wish we could all share in those. May God wake us up and show us the light he's giving us. All right, let's pray together. Father, thank you again for the privilege you give us to gather together here this morning or this evening and to consider this truth. Lord, wake us up and show us, Lord, the opportunities that are in front of us. Like you were keeping Nehemiah awake to that reality, showing him, keeping him engaged in the work. Lord, we pray that you would wake us up to the need of discipleship in our ministry. And Lord, we need to engage people, Lord, and the visitors that we've been having. They need ministry. Lord, don't let them slip away. Wake us up before it's too late. Lord, I'm thinking of a couple and a handful of singles that have come, and they need somebody to reach into their life and grab a hold of them and put their arm around them and love them and disciple them. Lord, do that, I pray. And Lord, there's so many well-qualified, well-equipped people in this church, people who should be discipling right now. Lord, open their eyes and show them that you want to use them right now. Lord, bless us now as we go to our testimony time and the Lord's Supper. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.